My meditation this week provides a detailed explanation and illumination of a primary wound that I believe is connected to why many individuals with the symptoms of Parkinson's do not find themselves on the road to recovery. I won't actually be taking anyone into an altered state this week, but rather inviting you to do some personal exploration to see if you can find evidence this week that, in fact, this particular wound is a primary or even a secondary wound for you. The wound is the wound of abandonment. Abandonment leads to unhealthy dependencies on others. We are expecting other people to do things for ourselves that we can do all by ourselves. This wound is actually up for me personally this week. So this is an exciting opportunity for me to explore how this wound has affected my behavior and creates fears that are not in my own highest and best good. This topic is inspired by a phone call that I received this week from a Parkinson's recovery member. This particular individual said, "Oh, I've got something to tell you, Robert. My woman left me." We had a very long conversation about that, about being abandoned by the woman that you love. She literally just walked out on him. This is a deep wound. It is a wound that is very, very painful. What I'd like to really do is then to be clear at the outset about what this is really about. Second, I'd like to tell you something about how abandonment has played out in my own life and has inhibited my ability to come into my full power. And then I want to give you and provide a very specific list, some ways that you can check for yourself this week whether or not abandonment is in fact a wound that needs to be healed deep inside yourself. So why is abandonment and why is dependency on others such a very, very important issue to consider for yourself? Why is it that depending on others to do something for yourself that you can do on your own is such a very big deal? The reason, I believe, is the following. Many people do still carry consciously or unconsciously the belief that if you are diagnosed with Parkinson's, it's progressive, it's degenerative, and yes, gradually you will become less and less able to function for yourself. And it's likely that those who love you, your partner, your spouse, your friend, your parent, your child, people who love you, are holding that belief as well, if you are not actually holding that belief. So what does this really mean in practice on a day-to-day, moment-to-moment basis? Let's say, for example, that you're about to drive to the store and you're with a friend or with a spouse. And as you're walking to the car with the keys in your hand, ready to drive away as you always do, your friend looks up at you and they say, "Hey, do you want me to drive today?" And you say, "Oh, sure," and you give them the keys so that they can drive. Why did they say that? Well, perhaps they saw you stammer a bit, or perhaps there was some evidence of disability that they thought would impair your ability to drive to the store, and so they said, "Let me do it for you." And the next time the two of you decide to go out together, this time to a restaurant to have a meal, it's almost automatic that the person says, "Hey, I'll drive," and they do drive. So all of a sudden, you are not yourself driving, as you well know how to do, to the various places in town. You drive less and less, and suddenly there comes a day when you're not driving anywhere. Let me give a second example, just so I can be absolutely clear about what this is all about. You wake up in the morning, and one that you love in your household is always around, always there, and you're trying to button up your shirt. And the person who you love and who loves you notices, oh, you're having a little trouble buttoning up your shirt. And so they step up and say, hey, I'll do this for you. And they button up your shirt. And you say to yourself, okay, this feels really wonderful. This person must really love me a lot to really feel like they need to button up my shirt. And the next day when you put your shirt on, you kind of step out to make sure that they see that you're trying to button up your shirt, and lo and behold, they say to themselves, oh, that's right. They can't button up their shirt anymore. So they walk up and they do it again for you a second day. And lo and behold, almost seamlessly, every day it's time to button up your shirt. They button up your shirt for you. You see, you can't button up your shirt yourself, or that is what you convince yourself to be true. It's not true. Of course you can button up your shirt. Perhaps it takes a little longer, but yes, it is important that you continue to button up your shirt because you are continuing to forge new neural networks with whatever activity you actually pursue. Stopping any particular specific activity then is not in your best and highest good when in fact, yes, you can do that activity for your very own self. Just think of yourself as a child, and the template that's the healthiest is, I can do it by myself, and to do it by yourself. There are then, I suggest to you, a multitude of dependencies that can arise once an individual is diagnosed with the symptoms of Parkinson's that are unhealthy. We'd like to rationalize them and say, oh, no, these are really very wonderful things. She or he is showing me how much they really love me. But of course, we are smothering the other person with demands that in fact they begin to caretake us. Caretake is an interesting word, and the meaning I'd like to suggest that you affixed to the word caretake is, the person that we love is doing something for us that we can and should do all by ourselves. This behavior, these unhealthy dependencies, are all rooted in what we call primary wound. And this wound is the wound of abandonment. Wounds come from early in infancy or even in the embryo. Something happened in our childhood when we had a fear of being abandoned by one parent or another parent or both parents. We had a fear that, yes, we would be abandoned and have to take care of ourselves. It's a very deep wound. It's a very profound wound. And many people have written about this and discovered that this primary wound, it's a feeling deeply rooted inside the fabric of our cells, manifests itself in how we carry our body, our physical appearance. Look around a room where there are a number of individuals with the symptoms of Parkinson's, and what you're likely to notice is that there are a number of individuals that have droopy bodies. Shoulders tend to droop down toward the floor. This is a sign of the wound of abandonment. It's likely that this person is very thin in their body structure. The actual texture of their muscles and their skin is, I want to use the word flabby. That doesn't mean I want to be insulting because I have this wound as well. But instead of having firm, hard bodies, those of us who have the wound of abandonment tend to have soft, a bit flabby skin and flabby muscle texture. I'd like to, in order to illustrate the profound impact of the wound of abandonment and how it can lead to a disempowerment, a story about myself. As you know, I don't exhibit the symptoms of Parkinson's, but Parkinson's has played a huge role in my life, and that my mother was diagnosed with Parkinson's and had its symptoms, and my uncle as well was diagnosed with Parkinson's and also had its symptoms. My story, however, concerns how the wound of abandonment has created unhealthy dependencies in my own life. I want to start with my story with my move from Lexington, Kentucky to Olympia, Washington. My first wife had died. I was absolutely devastated. I had been abandoned. My wound was up. The productiveness of my work at the university had slid to near zero, though I could actually teach my courses and pretend as though I was functioning on an even keel, which is actually not true. And I proceeded to try to see if I couldn't understand how I could return to a place of full health and balance. After attending a healing school of 4 years, I met Deborah, and we both decided to move to Olympia, Washington, where we began our healing work and practice together. Once I arrived here, and basically we purchased a house together here in Olympia, I had this idea in my mind and in the fabric of the cells of my body that Deborah and I would be doing everything together. Absolutely everything. When it came time to do a little painting for our healing room or space or office, I wanted to do that together with her. Was that a good idea? Well, it's not something she needed to do because she's particularly sensitive to toxins. So she basically said, no, I really would prefer not to help with the painting. Why don't you do that all by yourself? And as I'm painting the room, I'm feeling, boy, I'm having to do this all by myself. Doesn't that suck? Now, this particular feeling of being abandoned played out week after week after week. Another example, I love to write, as you all, I'm sure, are now aware of. It's my passion. It gives me juice. I would write something that I wanted to post on our website, and I would give it to Deborah to edit. She's really quite a marvelous writer, and I thought, yes, it would be very good if she would edit everything that I did so that by the time we actually posted the writing, it would be all Class A writing. So I would write something, I would give it to Deborah, and I would wait for her to edit the work before I wrote something else. Weeks would pass, I wouldn't say anything, more weeks would pass, and then I realized, well, she wasn't going to do any editing on that. And of course, the truth is, writing is my passion. Writing is what I like to do. Yes, it's true, she is an incredible writer and editor, but it's not what her passion calls her to do. So what am I really doing here? I am enmeshing her in something that really is what I need to do for myself. Let me give you just one third little story so that I can hammer the point of how this incredible feeling of being abandoned creates a dependency that is unhealthy and stops us from coming into our true and full power. My third story is about 5 years ago, I had this, I basically had two ideas. The first idea was I wanted to do a radio show. And the second idea was I wanted to do a cruise to Alaska. So I started talking to Deborah about both of those ideas. And of course, I wanted her to join together with me so that we could be co-creators of each of those activities. So I can remember vividly a conversation that went for many hours, and I was trying to convince her, let's do a radio show together. Wouldn't that be absolutely incredibly fun and wonderful? We talked and we talked and we talked, and she very clearly indicated that really was not something she wanted to do. If I wanted to do that, great. It's something that she would certainly honor for me to do. But for her, it really wasn't anything she wanted to set up or organize. And the cruise to Alaska was the same very deal. I wanted her to participate in all the planning and the doing and the details and the talking to people, etc., etc. But of course, that too was not something that called to her. Her calling was in a very different area, not mine, hers. So neither of those two visions, neither of those two dreams that I had really were fulfilled. They got stuck. They went absolutely nowhere. I did a little of work, of course. I pittered and pattered and made some plans and created a website, etc., etc., but nothing really actually ever happened. I was still waiting for Deborah to join together with me so that I could get both of those agendas moving with full force and intention. Did I really need her help with doing either of those two activities? The answer is, well, of course not. All I needed was a clear recognition that this was my passion, and second, the clear intention to set in motion the activities that would be required to make them happen. It wasn't necessary for me to couple together and to have incessant discussions with her about how to plan, how to do, what she should do, figuring out what I needed to do and what she needed to do, etc., etc. This was not what we needed to do together. Why then was I creating this enmeshment? And the answer is, and I want to say again, enmeshment of a healthy character. There was nothing healthy about any of what I was actually trying to accomplish. Why was I doing this? And the answer is, deep inside, I was creating these intentional dependencies because I had a fear of abandonment. It's a wound. It's at the cellular level. It has actually no words. It has no rationale. On an intellectual level, if you ask me, could I do these activities myself, I would say, well, of course I could. But you know, I don't want to. And I would give you lots of rationalizations for why I needed to have her help me do all of them. So what was the shift that made the difference? Many of you are probably well aware that, yes, of course, I have a radio program because you see that on the member website every week. And yes, we are doing a Parkinson's recovery cruise to Alaska. And yes, I have finally written a number of books that have been my passion. Yes, I have come alive. And why is it that I was able to come into my full power? The answer I have for you is, I acknowledged to myself that the fear of abandonment was holding me back from moving forward in my own personal life. I believe then that it is critical to simply acknowledge whether or not the fear of abandonment may be holding you back from being able to recover, to be able to become symptom-free, to be able to solidly join others on the road to recovery as every week and every month you feel better and better, as you come into your own power, as you realize creativity that you never knew existed deep inside the fabric of your soul. Now, what would be evidence that you might have a fear of abandonment? Again, this is not intellectual. This is emotional. It's what we call a wound. Now, at this point, you might want to get out a piece of paper and a pen or a pencil and jot down some notes so that for the rest of the week, you can simply observe your own behavior. And in each moment, for each thing, for each activity, you can ask yourself whether or not this particular fear is up for you. Remember always that when fears are sizzling, symptoms of Parkinson's will also be sizzling. As we can heal the fear of abandonment, we are also able to address the symptoms of Parkinson's and find that, yes, we will be feeling a great deal better and much more functional and much more eager and motivated to manifest our destiny. So here's the list, and jot down whatever notes you might want to jot down so that you can pay attention to your own behavior, to your own thoughts this week, to detect whether or not you also, like me, have a fear of abandonment. Do you have trouble letting go when the other person needs space? We know that feeling when we're pressing the other person to do something with us. Let's go take a walk together. Let's watch this show together. Let's go out and garden together, etc., etc. And yet we get a sense, well, the other person really would rather do something else in the moment. Are we always pressing the person that we love, our spouse, our partner, our friends, to do something with us day in and day out? Are we pestering them with calls and urgings? Let's do this together. Let's do this together. Are we seeking maximum contact with the other person? People who have the fear of abandonment tend to see that it's difficult to stand on our own two feet. If you actually observed my behavior, as I have been very closely these last months and years, I've noticed that I tend to lean against walls when I stand. I want to always be leaning against something. I don't like to stand by myself on my own two feet. I want to always be depending on a counter or a wall or a person. So that when I'm with another person like Deborah, I always want to literally hang on to her as we're walking somewhere. In other words, I'm seeking maximum physical contact. In other words, I'm literally clinging to the other person. When another person that you love has a problem or an issue, when they're not actually well, do you become enmeshed or obsessive about their specific situation? Do you want to know everything there is to know about what's happening with them? Do you become emotionally drawn in to their story? Do you want to fix it? Do you want to spend a lot of time doing internet searches or library searches to find, well, what might be a solution to this person's problem? And then you spend a lot of time saying things like, have you considered this? Have you considered that? Have you gone here? Have you talked with this person? Would you like me to call so-and-so? I can find out something for you, etc., etc., etc. In other words, their problem, their issue, all of a sudden becomes the most important issue or problem for yourself. Does this ever happen to you? If it does, you may have the wound of abandonment. Are you caretaking then the other person and, hold on to your seats, not taking care of yourself? Think about it. To what extent do you spend each day paying attention to your own needs? The needs for your own nutrition, the needs for your dress, the needs for your own personal exercise, the needs for what you need to do for yourself to give yourself joy today. To what extent do you even know what you need for yourself? Or do you find yourself always thinking, oh, I know what I need to do. I need to do the following for the other person that I love. In other words, you're always thinking about them and not thinking about your own needs. If this is true for yourself, and if you stop and ask, well, what is it that I need to do for myself today, and have difficulty answering that question, it's very likely you have a primary fear of abandonment. Do you always want to give more to the other person because there's a sense that you haven't given enough? You want to give more things, more presents, more money, more attention. It's always that, no, I really haven't quite given that person enough. I need to give more and more and more. Do you always go along with the other individual's suggestions and ideas and plans and even timing? Is it always okay for you no matter what they say? So the other person, your spouse, your friend, says, how about let's go to a movie at 4 o'clock? And you say to yourself, oh, fine, yeah, whatever. Do you always do that? Or do you stop and think to yourself, what timing is going to be the best timing for me? What are my needs today in the moment? How can I fulfill what I need to do for myself? This is what she or he wants to do, 4 o'clock departure time. But is this the best time for me? Do you ever stop and think to yourself, wait a minute, let me just ask myself, what's the best time for me? If you never stop and think, what do I really need? Or what would be the best planning for me? Again, chances are very good that a primary fear that lies at the cellular level for you is the fear of abandonment. Do you have relatively few personal boundaries? By that I mean you're always talking about what we like to do if you happen to be married or have a spouse or have friends. It's always, oh, this is what we like to do rather than what I really love to do is the following. If you're always saying we, just catch yourself this week and ask yourself, if I use the word I, how would this sentence actually change? Another clue that the fear of abandonment may be a primary fear for you is that you are willing to cope and tolerate any contact from others, and in particular the people that you love. So they get nasty toward you. They say cruel things. You are always saying, oh, that's okay, I understand, you can treat me like that if you want, because I'm a good person and I can understand why you're doing what you are doing. Or do you say, ouch, that hurt, stop that, you're being a bastard or a bitch? Do you ever say that? If not, there's a very good chance that a primary wound for you is the wound of abandonment. Have you ever said anything to the effect of, oh, I'm addicted to the other person, or I'd love to be glued to them? You guessed it. If you've ever noticed that you've said that, then yes, abandonment is up for you as a primary wound. Do you need a constant reassurance that the other person will stay, will always be there? Do you need them to incessantly say, yes, dear, I love you. Yes, dear, I love you. Yes, dear, I'll always be here until the day that you die. Is this what you need to hear from the person that you love? Or do you know in your heart, of course they will always be there, and you don't need those reassurances? If you have those feelings that they're going to leave, then the fear of abandonment is a fear for yourself. This happens to people who've been married 30 years, 40 years, 50 years. They still fear the other person is going to leave. That's the fear of abandonment residing at the cellular level, a fear that has no words, that has no rationale, and that makes no sense from an intellectual level. These are emotional issues that affect every aspect of our life. Do you have a fear of being alone? Would you rather always do something with someone else? Can you go out and take a walk by yourself? Can you be by yourself? Can you meditate by yourself? You see, one of the good reasons why meditations can be so helpful to a person who has a fear of abandonment is meditation is something you have to do all by yourself. Do you have a tendency to protect the other person from your own feelings? So you're feeling really down and out. You're feeling really crummy. And the person that you love says, hey, what's up? What's going on? And you say, oh, I'm okay. And you don't really express to the other person the deep and profound sorrow and despair that you may actually be feeling, or the depression? Are you protecting the other from what is really true deep inside the fabric of your body? Do you tend to literally carry fear, or do you repress anger? Do you very seldom get angry at the other person and are always literally running around fearful of one thing or another? Then abandonment is likely an issue for you. When you see the other person come and go, are you always in distress? Perhaps your partner or your best friend says to you, "I'm going to go out and hang out with the gals," or "I'm going to go out and hang out with the guys." Do you say to yourself, "Oh no, I don't get to come"? And the answer is, well, no. This is a guy thing, not a gal thing. I need to be with the other guys right now. So they leave, and you say to yourself, "Oh, I feel so hurt inside that I couldn't come along." If so, abandonment is a primary fear to you. So, do you cling? Do you always want to be close? Are you always reaching out energetically and physically to the other person so that they can be closer to you? If so, you have a primary fear of abandonment, and what this means is dependencies that are unhealthy have been created in your life. It means that the other individual is likely doing many things for you that you need to be doing for yourself. My invitation for you this week is an invitation I have given to myself. The invitation is to observe each and every decision that you make for yourself. Are you feeling and are you thinking, "Oh, I want to do such and such, but only with the other person"? That's clearly an indication of clinging. The invitation would be, do it by yourself today and see how it feels. Are you expecting the other person to do certain things for yourself that, upon acknowledgement, you can really do for yourself? Now, you certainly don't want to take this to the extreme and do anything that, in fact, would be dangerous. For example, it may be that, yes, at this point in your recovery, it's not a smart thing for you to drive. So, obviously, don't drive. You do need another person to drive for you. So, when I say dependency, what we want to do is to learn how to ask for help from others, from the activities that we cannot do for ourselves. That's healthy. It's unhealthy when we are asking someone else to do something for us that, in fact, we need to do for ourselves. Ask yourself at the beginning of every day, what do I need to do for myself today? What do I need to do to take care of myself today? What do I need to do to grab hold of the fabric of who I am as an individual being who has the potential to create, who has the potential to return to full health and wellness, who has the promise of becoming all of who I am? We all limit ourselves in certain ways. One of the ways I think that is the case for many individuals with the symptoms of Parkinson's is dependencies on others that are unhealthy. The invitation this week, then, is the invitation again that I give to myself. I will walk through each and every moment this week for myself. And for each activity, for each thought, for each decision I make, I'm going to ask myself the question, am I being healthy in my expectations of myself and my expectations of the other? And in particular, this is primarily, of course, Deborah and my daughter and my son and the other individuals in my life that I dearly love deeply. Do you then have a primary wound of abandonment? It may be, as you ponder through the list that I have given to you this week, you may come to the conclusion that, no, it's not primary. But I can assure you that if you seriously challenge yourself with answering the questions I've given you this week, seriously, you will find, yes, indeed, there are threads of the wound of abandonment deep inside at the cellular level. We all have this wound to a certain extent. And to the extent that you can acknowledge this wound is present, you can convert unhealthy dependencies to a healthy independence. And this means the exciting part of the end of the story is that, yes, you will much more quickly be able to return to a place of full health and wellness. It will be the case that you will become able to come into your full power. It will be able for you to acknowledge your full creativity and to know the essence of all that who you are. May all of the decisions that you make this week for the little things in your life be in the best interest of who you are. May your magnificence be realized this week. And may the fear of abandonment, no matter how it is realized in your life, be gently acknowledged this week. This is Robert Rogers talking about a subject that is near and dear to my own heart. Good day.